The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
You'd look back and say, why didn't this work?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And that's really where the idea came from for that 7-day flip.
It's like a challenge, right?
Exactly. I was like, hey, well, I was hoping that that 7-day flip would crash and burn, right? I was thinking, hey, this, I'm going to make my guys, I'm going to put them in this tight environment.
Right.
I'm going to put the pressure up. I want to see who can thrive and who's going to fail. And that's, I was really expecting the 7-day flip to not go well.
Like, yeah,
to
but think chaos. About how much you could learn, right?
The
whole thing is this a great experiment.
Exactly my mindset. And so I was like, hey, look, I'm going to throw everybody into this vacuum that I'm going to say, hey, you got to flip this house in 7 days. And I wanted to see the wheels fall off. Right. And it ended up not being like that. It was awesome. We did it in 6 days, right? We did a 40K rehab in 6 days. On the 7th day, we were having a barbecue. We did some touch up paint and we were done.
Yeah, you hadn't closed in 7 days, but you took possession of the property, closed at the beginning, did the flip, and were in contract to sell it in 7 days.
So from keys to contract was 14 days. So by the time I owned it by the time it was under contract was 14 days. But the 7-day flip is just the renovation side.
Got it. I mean, it's back on the market in 7 days. Somebody could buy it that day.
Yep, exactly.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Tyler Jensen from Salt Lake City, notorious for doing 7-day flips. We've done a whole bunch of those. We're going to talk about it today on this episode, so stay tuned. It's going to be awesome.
Mike Simmons introduced us, right?
Yeah, so Mike Simmons is a great buddy of mine, good mentor, like just an amazing guy. So I appreciate the hookup from Mike.
Yeah, and he made his way in the real estate business too, right? I mean, he's done some other things, but he's big on house flipping. I think he's doing a lot of wholesaling these days, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of wholesaling. That's pretty much their bread and butter is wholesaling.
Yeah, so for people that don't know what that is, why don't you describe it since you're the expert?
Wholesaling is where you're just essentially flipping contracts. So you get a property under contract and then you're selling it to guys like me who are going to renovate it or flip it or hold it.
Right. You never take possession of the property, right?
Correct. Yep. You're just assigning, you're assigning the contract to somebody else. And then whatever that margin is in between the price that you get it for and the price that you sell it for is what you keep.
Right. That's a little bit different than being a broker. You're not brokering the property. You're actually getting the contract, signing the contract, and then assigning it to you or flipping it to you.
Yep. Right.
Okay. Well, another episode. So we're talking about what you do, which is flipping. And So, let's go back. I mean, you're a young guy. I don't know how long you've been doing this, but you could talk about a little bit about your background and how you got into what you're doing. And then maybe we could talk about the whole 7-day flip, which I think is kind of cool.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I started flipping houses in 2008. Okay. So that's when I started college. I was young, ambitious. I knew that real estate was a good way to create good financial freedom.
So you were, was a freshman, right? So you were like 21 or something, 18?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was 21. So I graduated high school. I went and served in a mission for my church for a couple of years. And then I came home and started college. And that's when I really got into flipping houses. So my dad and I started a company. It was called Pay It Forward Enterprises. And we had gone through a foreclosure. And so our idea was that we were going to help people pay it forward and stop foreclosure. So that
you had been foreclosed on, or?
Yeah, so my dad had, when I was growing up, we had gone through a foreclosure and so we just wanted to make sure that we paid it forward. So that was the name of our company. And so we would negotiate short sales and foreclosures, stuff like that. That was the hot thing in 2008.
Right.
And that was at the bottom, right?
Yeah, but I think before 2008, nobody knew what a short, I mean, I knew what a short sale was, but nobody knew that you could actually go to your bank and say, hey, listen, I'm in trouble. I don't want to get foreclosed on. Will you take less for the property? You know, can I give you back the property and you wipe out my mortgage and let's move on? And that became commonplace in 2008. But up till then, it was very difficult to get done. The banks didn't really do it a lot. It was some obscure department you probably had to deal with. And then when the world collapsed in 2008, this was like a common occurrence. So
So we were essentially talking about wholesaling. That's what we would do with these short sales. We would negotiate with the bank for a reduced price. We would buy the property and then the next day we would turn around and sell at retail. So we were essentially doing the same thing as wholesaling, except we would double close and we would take possession of the property for a day or 2 days until we had another retail buyer that would purchase the property. And then we would just keep the difference in between what we had negotiated for and then what we sold at retail.
Right. So, and the banks, they don't want to be in this business. They just wanted to get the things off their books. So it was an opportunity for everybody to make money. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I got started. We did our first flip in 2008. I did 100% everything. So I did tile and flooring and painting and you name it, I did it. So it was
self-taught.
Yeah. Lots of YouTube videios and lots of asking questions.
Hey, you can learn everything on YouTube.
I know, right? Nice. Yeah. Nice. So that's what we did. And so I did everything. I was working full time. I was going to school full time. And then this was kind of a nights and weekends thing after school or weekends or whatever. I would go and work on flipping these houses. So that was our first one. Our first one we lost like 37 grand on.
Perfect.
And that was an awesome experience.
You learn more that way, don't you?
Exactly. You're
right.
Right. Education. So that was more than I made in a year, right? As a young college kid. So we worked it out with our investor. We just paid him some monthly interest payments and said, hey, look, sorry, it was our first one. We made every mistake in the book. But we did it again. We flipped another one. We made like 39 grand on the second one. And we gave all that money to our investor. He was happy. He had been made whole. And then we said, all right, we've done a really crappy job. We've done a really good job. Like, I think we should try this. And so we did our third one. We made like 19,000 bucks on our third property. And then I knew that that was something that, hey, I could do this, right? We learned a great lesson. We lost a lot of money. We made it back, which was super cool, right? We could have just given up and quit.
Right. But I was going to say, Tyler, I think that 99 out of 100, people would just be like, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. And they'd be like, well, what happened? Well, we did one and we lost money, so it doesn't work. And you're like, well, you probably just learned how to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We did everything wrong in the book. We bought it wrong. We sold it too low. Like, we over rehabbed it. We just did everything, right? So it was a good learning experience. And that integrity was important to me, right? To make our investor whole. Hey, you took a chance on us. It was our first one. We didn't know what we were doing. And I'm like, it would take me 10 years to pay you back. I'm like, we got to figure out a way that I can make sure to make you whole.
So was that one of the reasons why you kept moving forward? Because you felt obligated to this guy?
I wanted to keep that integrity intact, right? Someone took a chance on me and I wanted to make sure that I returned the favor and that I made them whole. So that was part of it. And then, I'm like, man, we couldn't do any worse, right? Let's try it again. So that's kind of where I started in 2008, doing everything 100% myself. And then I started climbing the corporate ladder, right? I got educated. I got a couple of degrees and I started, working my way up. I was a COO for a while, director of operations. I did all that kind of stuff, but I quickly realized in corporate America that you're trading time for money, right? And I was working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I was traveling all the time.
What kind of company were you working for?
So I had a manufacturing, so my degree is in accounting, and okay. I had a manufacturing background. So I worked in the oil field for a while doing supply chain. I worked in a manufacturing company. I was a COO for a manufacturing company. I had like 128 employees. I was a young COO. I thought that title was cool, but I was working 80-hour weeks. I had a young family, right? I had just had my little boy. And so I realized really quickly that I couldn't have both. I couldn't have time freedom and I couldn't have financial freedom. And I wanted to have both. So a couple of years ago, we kind of came to that crossroads that we had just closed. I was still flipping houses all the way through this journey, kind of
on the side.
Yeah, totally. So okay. It was either me doing it, or I would manage GCs, or I joint ventured with a general contractor. Like, we tried all just different ways of flipping houses. And 2 years ago, we closed on two houses at the same time. And I told my wife, I'm like, hey, look, this is our chance, right? We have runway now that we could live off of that. And I told her, I came home and I was like, hun, I want to quit my job and I want to pursue real estate full time. What do you think?
And she Tyler, said, what price range were these houses? Were they a couple hundred thousand?
In Utah, our median house price is $330,000 and we're doing houses at like $250,000. So they're all first time home buyers, people who are just getting into houses, stuff like that.
So it's a $30,000 to $50,000 flip in most cases, right?
Yeah, for a rehab, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because you got to put money into the property, right? So,
yeah.
Okay.
Totally. So about a $30,000, $35,000 rehab, that's our normal.
Okay. I don't mean to get you off the, I was just.
No, you're
the
good.
Economics of it. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I came home and I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I want to quit my job. And she's like, absolutely not, right?
She's supportive.
No. Yeah, you have good income. You went to school. You're highly educated. You have this executive position. Like, you have 401k and insurance, all this stuff, right? So she was like, absolutely not. You're not quitting your job. So a lot of persuasion and negotiating and praying about it and talking about it, and finally she consented and said, all right, you have 6 months. And
that's it. She only gave you 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
At least a year. I mean, come on.
All right. But she said, okay, 6 months. If you can make it happen in 6 months, then I'll go along with this journey. If not, you got to go back and get a job. And we said we tried it and it didn't work. So I went to work, man. Like, that was my biggest thing. I told my wife that she wouldn't notice the difference. I'd pay us every 2 weeks. I'd make sure we had health insurance. The only difference would be I would be going to the basement for the office instead of driving to the office. And that's where it all really started full time, right? I started picking up. We were doing about, I don't know, 6 to 10 a year when I quit my job. So we had already had some momentum going. We had already had a good thing going, but then it just really blew up after that. Like, I just started doing really well and getting more houses and building my team. And here we are now, a couple of years later, that we'll do 40 houses this year. I don't even see the houses anymore.
Right.
So it's just been a really cool process of evolution, I guess, and growing my business and growing.
Nice. But you put yourself in a position, you had to make it happen.
Yeah, totally. It was on me. I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning every day and just going to work. And that was my favorite part, honestly, is because it was on me now. I didn't have to listen to my boss who controlled my paycheck and I'd get a 2% cost of living increase and 3 weeks off, right? I could take a month off if I wanted to, or I could work as many hours as I needed to, but I still got to be able to hang out with my kids. And one of the things I'm most proud of, right, in doing that is that every Friday we have what's called Fun Friday. So I have three little boys and they get out of school early on Friday. So every Friday I kind of unplug, I go hang out with them. We do something fun. We go to the park. We take them to the skate park, to a water park, whatever it is. Nice. And that has just been awesome to me, right? Because that's what I really wanted to do, is hang out with my kids. So now I'm at the point that I have financial freedom, but I also have that time freedom. And that's exactly what I was looking for going into real estate.
Yeah. Well, that's why you do it, right? You don't.
Yeah, totally.
It's great to do it for the money and financial freedom and, you know, whatever. So maybe you'll get rich, but if you don't have quality of life, what's the point? You know, I mean, that's why you leave corporate America, because the corporation doesn't act like you're important. You have to act like the corporation is important. And nobody likes that, especially nowadays. I mean, God, look what everybody's reevaluating their life now because of coronavirus and everything.
Totally.
Yeah. Now that was how many? So when did you quit your job? That was how long ago?
Let's see. That was 3 years ago. It was 2017. So.
Okay. So you've done 150 or some odd flips at this point?
Yeah, we were just over 100 flips.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so I, you know, it's not like you've been doing this for 40 years. You've been doing it for a short period of time, but I don't want people to think that your story means that anybody can do it when they're 21 and whatever. You got to learn, you got to try. Like you said, you failed, you may fail more than once. Right. But there are good people out there to interact with, to learn about, how to do this stuff. Right. So when you got started in flipping, you hadn't met Mike at this point, right? So how did you start learning about how to get involved in the real estate business?
Yeah. So back in 2008, it was really just, I wasn't afraid to ask questions, right? I would hire an electrician to say, hey, I'll pay you $100. Just make sure I'm not going to burn down this house, right? How do I do it?
Right.
Tell me what needs to be done here so I can learn the process. And so that was kind of where it started, right? Is that I would just ask a lot of questions. Oh, I don't understand this. I'd go look it on YouTube, or I'd go figure it out, or I'd go ask somebody who was doing it in my market, right? That's when I first started. And then a couple of years ago, right, I quit my job. I went to Flip Hacking Live, and that was a game changer for me. I was just surrounded by these people who were just killing it, right? And so I was like, hey, I could do that. There's a saying that, you know, it's hard to fly with eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys.
That's true.
I felt like I was surrounded by the turkeys, right? Like,
yeah.
I had all these people telling me that I couldn't do it and don't quit your job. That's stupid. Like, why would you do that? And, you know, I just had all these negative things until I joined this mastermind group that Mike Simmons is a part of called Seven Figure Flipping. And that to me was really, those were the eagles, right? They were people who were doing hundreds of deals a year. They were just, they blew that ceiling off of what my potential was, right? I always had this thing. I thought I was doing really well. I was doing six houses a year. That was awesome. These guys are like, I did six houses last week. Like, what's your problem? You know? And I was like, right. Oh, like, I just never knew that that was possible.
Yeah. It's perspective.
So, yeah, totally. And so they just kind of meeting Mike and a lot of those other guys that are in that group just really kind of blew that business up, that they're like, hey, well, why not? Why couldn't you flip a house in 7 days or do four houses at a time or whatever it is, right? Like all those things, like it was just those limiting beliefs that I had, and being a part of that mentorship was that I could blow those up and I could say, you know what, my potential is as great as I want it to be. And that's when it really was a game changer for me, is meeting guys like that were doing more than me and that were willing to put their hand down to me and reach up and say, okay, hey, look, I'm going to pull you along and help you. And, you know, Tony Robbins says, turn decades into days. And that's what I feel like I did, that I was turning all of their decades of experience into days by just leaning on them. So,
right. Well, that's how you don't do it on your own.
Totally.
What was I going to ask you? So yeah, I think that's one of the problems that we have, right? It's not just necessarily we have limiting beliefs, but, and why a lot of people are not so successful is that we have these people, they mean well, but they basically sabotage you because they're afraid of having you fail or maybe having you succeed and them not doing it. I don't know what the psychological side of it is, but I think it's very, you know, common. What are you doing that for? Why would you do? Because they're projecting their nervousness on what you're doing. It doesn't affect your life, their life, if you don't succeed. Your wife, it will, but nobody else. And I think that a lot of people can't get over that. You know, they're like, they're afraid of failing in front of their friends, letting them down. They got all this doubt in there. Like, worry and doubt are like the worst emotions we ever invented. Like, what's the point, right? It doesn't affect the outcome. Well, maybe it affects the outcome negatively, but it doesn't affect, you know, either you're going to succeed or you're not. Well, why worry about it? Just focus on doing it. I mean, look, you could have quit your job and worried for 4 months figuring like how you're going to work this out and in the next 2 months you couldn't turn it around. But instead you buckled up and you hit the streets. And I think that those are the successful people that I see, because it's a learned skill, or it's something that you have in you to kind of keep everybody like away.
Right.
You know, like, don't listen to the stuff that everybody's telling you. You know, like you said, if you flock with the turkeys, you're not going to soar with the eagles. And it's because of the negative mindset, you know? I mean, that's a big part of it, right? Having the right mindset to make this happen. And I think also then you meet a guy like Mike and you're like, wow, I didn't think that any of that was possible. So what the hell am I doing? You know, and I've had that experience in my life too. Like you go through things and you realize in the rest of the world what everyone else is doing. You realize, well, first of all, you're doing more than everyone else. And then you find this group of people that are doing a lot more than you. And you're like, well, I could do at least half of what they're doing. That would be twice what I'm doing now, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
It's really what comes down to like how you treat failure, right? If you're afraid of failure or you look at failure as an opportunity. And for me, my whole life has been that, right? Like that it's how you treat that failure. Yeah, that sucked. And that was a painful experience. And I never want to do that again. And you can choose to not do that again. Or you can say, hey, look, that I'm going to tack that up in the education column and say, I learned from that and I'm going to be better because of that. And so it really is that failure to me, right? I wasn't afraid of failing. And that's what made me successful, I feel like, is that how you look at that failure. And other people are going to tell you about failure, right? They're going to say, hey, you can't do it. There's no way, right?
Right.
Like when we announced we were going to flip the house in 7 days, you should have seen the people that told me that's stupid. Why would you do that? Yeah, you can't do that. You can't flip the house in 7 days. That's crazy.
Like, what are you, the guy on TV with the...
You're just this punk kid. Like, you don't know what you're doing. And so, yeah, it's just really... And then that failure is real. You start your own worst critic, right? Well, what if we do fail and we're making this public? And well, what if we don't do it in 7 days, right?
So what?
Yeah, and that's the point, right? And then I'm like, what am I talking about? Who cares? Like, what if we did it in 10 days?
Right, or 14 days. You did it in 14 days.
I know. And I'm like, so it really is just how you react to that failure and what you're willing. You have to be willing to take that risk and take that step to be okay with failure, right? And failure is okay. Failure is an opportunity to learn from it and to grow from it and to make you a better person. And a lot of people are just afraid to take that step because they're worried what could happen, right? I could have failed. I had 6 months, right? I definitely could have failed and gone back to corporate America, but that wasn't an option for me. I probably failed a lot during that first 6 months.
That's how you learn. Exactly. Look, the first house you failed on, you could have walked away from and never gone back to real estate.
Yeah, totally. And my life would be totally different because of that, right? Yeah. I'd be in a job that I hated, working 50, 60 hours a week, having 2 weeks of paid vacation and just not loving life. And now I have fun Fridays and I get to hang out with my kids and I get to do all these things that I've always wanted to do. So it really is that decision point on how you treat failure.
Definitely. So I think people... if they would approach failure differently and understand that they will fail, like when you get out there and you put yourself out there with anything, but certainly in entrepreneurship and business and so forth, right? You and I both know we're going to fail. Yeah. I don't know what it will be that we will fail at, but totally. We will fail at things. It's not like people think, so I don't want to do that because I might fail. Well, of course you're going to fail. There's no magic formula to the people that are successful versus others because there's always a different way that you would implement it or, you know, whatever. I mean, a lot of things in life are a crapshoot. And the people that are persevere and learn from the mistakes they make and look at failure, like you say, is an opportunity to grow, right? And what was it, Edison, right? He didn't discover the light bulb. He discovered like 9,000 ways to not make a light bulb.
Yeah, and exactly.
I met a guy recently who was he's coming out of my podcast, I think, next week. He's got a trucking company. Like, he connects truckers with logistic companies and companies that need trucking. Anyway, he goes out to raise money for this business, like his third try of successful business, but then losing it and then an accident and health issues. He went to pitch. So he did this business plan. He goes to pitch contests, you know, like angel investors. Let's say you're looking for investors to invest in your deals, right?
Right.
So he said, for the first 10 things I'm going to go to, I'm going to fail. Like, I want to fail every single time and just do this and learn until I'm really good at it. And if you take that attitude, I'm not saying you should fail on every real estate deal you do, but if you go in with that attitude, like, what am I going to learn from this? You're not learning much if it always works out, right? Because you're just waiting for the ice to break. But I think that if you have that attitude, then failure, first of all, is not a surprise to you, right? And then it's like, well, that's great. Now that we screwed that up, we won't screw that up again. We'll screw up something else, but we won't screw that up again. And we get better at what we do. And I think that the people that I know that are successful do exactly what you say. And that is, it's not failure. It's just the first time you did it.
Right.
Right. And you did it wrong. And maybe the second time you'll do it wrong again, but you learn and grow and you become a stronger person at whatever you're doing. It's part of the I don't know. It's part of the journey. It's not like it, but there's a lot of people that are just so afraid of, like you said, failing or putting themselves out there and not meeting, you know, like you said. So what if it's 10 days? What, you failed?
Yeah, exactly.
What if it didn't work? It took you 3 months to flip the house. Okay, you'd flip the house. You'd lick your wounds. You'd look back and say, why didn't this work?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And that's really where the idea came from for that 7-day flip.
It's like a challenge, right?
Exactly. I was like, hey, well, I was hoping that that 7-day flip would crash and burn, right? I was thinking, hey, this I'm going to make my guys, I'm going to put them in this tight environment.
Right.
I'm going to put the pressure up. I want to see who can thrive and who's going to fail. And that's, I was really expecting the 7-day flip to not go well. Like,
yeah,
to
but think chaos. About how much you could learn, right?
Exactly.
The whole thing. This is a great experiment.
Exactly my mindset. And so I was like, hey, look, I'm going to throw everybody into this vacuum that I'm going to say, hey, you got to flip this house in 7 days. And I wanted to see the wheels fall off, right?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
And it ended up not being like that. It was awesome. We did it in 6 days, right? We did a 40K rehab in 6 days. On the 7th day, we were having a barbecue. We did some touch-up paint and we were done.
Yeah, you hadn't closed in 7 days, but you took possession of the property, closed at the beginning, did the flip, and were in contract to sell it in 7 days.
So from keys to contract was 14 days. So by the time I owned it by the time it was under contract was 14 days. But the 7 day flip is just the renovation side.
Got it. I mean, it's back on the market in 7 days. Somebody could buy it that day.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So we got it. And then we started it, like, we bought it on a Friday. We started on a Monday. And then we went to Sunday, we took pictures and everything. But anyways, the $40,000 rehab. So we changed all the utilities. We updated the electrical, the plumbing, new furnace. We did all of that.
Was this any of the required inspections?
Yeah, so we did inspections. So we had inspections already planned. So we worked with the city and said, hey, look, we're doing this crazy thing. We need your help. And so, yeah, we had
all- So you got them on board ahead of time.
Yeah, we planned it really, really well. Like we strategized, we rented a U-Haul truck and we said, okay, day one, it's at the back. So as soon as we opened the door, then everything they needed for day one was there. And then day seven was at the front. So we just really planned it really, really well. And it turned out awesome. But, and that was the difference between why it was successful and why it wasn't, is that I was thinking it was just going to crash.
Right.
But I went in there with a lot of due diligence and said, this is my
plan. A lot of planning.
These are the goals, right? This is the goals that I want to hit. Here's my action items to achieve the goals. This is what we need to get done in order to have this happen. And then I had to have the right people on board that were going to be like, yeah, okay, this is possible. We could totally do this.
Right.
And so, yeah. To your point, right. I was expecting to fail. I was expecting to learn from it and say, yeah, how did we do this? You know, what did we miss? Where did it go wrong? Right. How did we derail this process? But it surprisingly went really well.
It made you over plan, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It was an event. Plus it's good PR, by the way. It's great publicity too.
Yeah,
content. Totally. Yeah, to get it out there and say, oh, this is an event and people are, You know, like the Dream House thing they used to do on TV. The whole neighborhood comes out. You know, they all see what's going on.
Yeah, and it was cool. Like, and it was funny because we're shooting this in August, and our first 7-day flip.
Yo, you documented this on video?
Yeah, just so our first one we did on Facebook, right? Every day we do a Facebook Live, and we just went through it. And, and I remember the night before calling my project manager, and I'm like, hey, I'm going live with this on Facebook. Like, are we sure we can do this?
We look like total idiots.
Are we good? Like, I'm putting this out to the world. So these are all my people. So are we sure we're good? And he's like, yeah, I think we're good. Oh, that's really sure. You think we're good.
Well, he's not going to know until you actually do it, right?
Yeah, but the cool story of that is that 6 months, so we've done several 7-day flips since.
Right? Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you.
It went awesome. We did a second one. We did a third one. All of them went great, right? We finished them in 7 days. And then my project manager came to me. We just acquired these two duplexes that were right next door to each other. And he's like, hey, Tyler, I had this crazy idea. We have these four properties that are right next door to each other. They all need to be rehabbed. He's like, what would you say if we flipped all four of these in 7 days?
So there was basically an upstairs and a downstairs too.
No, they're side by side.
So two side by sides.
Yep. Two side by side. So complete. They needed brand new kitchens. They were, you know, they were pretty big duplexes. And so it was just like flipping a regular house for us. And so he's like, hey, well, what if we
No, but there's four kitchens and four electrical panels and four. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So they were all very unique flips. And he's like, hey, what if we did these in 7 days? We did all four of them. And I'm like, bro, 6 months ago, you were telling me we couldn't do a 7-day flip. And now you're telling me we're going to do four of them in 7 days. So we did it. We documented the whole thing. We had a film crew fly out. They followed us around for a week about flipping these four houses in 7 days. And it was really cool because it's not like the HGTV where it's all the before and afters and all just
right, magic television in 1 hour.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we did this $20,000 rehab and it's a $1 million house, right? It's just not real.
Right.
And so for us, like, it was cool because you get to see we had to deal with meth and we had to deal with, you know, things, skeletons popping out of the closet that we didn't know of, right? We had mold under one of the bathrooms and you just get to see it was just real, like real house flipping. So we made a YouTube series about it and just kind of this documentary. And so
it's on your YouTube channel.
Yeah. I think I'll send you the link. You can put it in the show notes or something.
Great. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's just called 7-Day Flip. It's on our 7-Figure Flipping YouTube channel, but it's awesome. We did 9 episodes and it goes through the whole process, how we found the deal, how we negotiated it, what our planning looked like, how we executed it every day for 7 days, what it looked like, how my team, we had to fire people. We had to deal with, you know, meth and the city and all these other things that you get to see are real. And it was just a cool thing, man. It was a cool experience to be able to see my guys go from, this isn't possible. We can't do a 7-day flip. And now we're doing four at one time, right? We just looked at this sixplex and we're like, hey, what if we did 6 in 6 days? And my guys didn't even bat up there.
Yeah, okay. Like, let's do it. Easy. No yeah, but worries. You change their paradigm. You change their understanding of their purview. Yeah.
It was that 4-minute mile, right? And now I'm helping other people in our group do 7-day flips as well. Like people never thought that was possible. And they're like, hey, it's this 4-minute mile, right? That no one can do that. No one can do a 7-day flip. And now I'm teaching other people how to do it. And it's really cool.
That's the evolution.
That's the reward for me. I'm like, man, this is really neat that people are kind of taking this movement and being like, yeah, well, why not? Why can't we do that?
Right.
And my crew is all in there. We could do 6 houses in 6. We could do 10 houses in 7, you know, like now they're almost over.
Yeah, send us a real challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, but it was just cool to see that evolution, right? Of people telling me that I can't and then surrounding myself with good people. And now they're pushing me. And, you know, I saw on Facebook, one of the guys in my group that I do a lot of mentoring with, he's like, dude, I'm doing a 2-day flip. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, and I don't know the extent of that. You know, it's probably not.
Maybe you don't want to do a 2-day flip, right? It's too much.
Paint and carpet maybe, but I'm like, still, that's cool. Like that, good for him. Like what a cool experience that he didn't think that was possible until we said, you know, we're going to prove that wrong and we're going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So
let's talk a little bit about business planning, because I think that a lot of people who do what you do or in other businesses too, they have trouble going from being the one man band, having their hands in everything, feeling that you have to be there. You're saying sometimes you don't even see these properties now. Take me through the process in your mind. I don't know if you wrote a strategic business plan, but you certainly, whatever planning you did, how you got from, you know, okay, I'm a one man band, which obviously in your mind was like, I don't want to do this forever, yeah, to how you started developing the business, its operations. I'm sure you have all kinds of systems now as to how you run things and who you work with and what, how you take, you know, find the properties, take possession of the properties, renovate the properties, get them back on the market and the whole thing. So can you take me through that whole kind of process?
So it was really, for me and my business plan was just people, right? I made a list of all the tasks that I felt like I had to do or that my business had to do, right? Someone had to go see the property. Someone had to negotiate the property. Someone had to resell the property. And then I just started building people around me, my team. My first one was a bookkeeper, right? I was an accountant, but I hated doing all the data entry or all the Home Depot receipts and all that other stuff, right? So I said, I need someone to do the accounting because my financials are super important. So I hired that off. And then I kept growing. I hired a project.
But clearly keeping track of all that stuff is very important for you analyzing whether these deals are making sense or not. Just because you have cash left over at the end doesn't mean that it made you money, right? So that was important, but you're like, shit, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I just didn't have time, right? I didn't have time to data entry all the receipts from Home Depot. And I didn't have time to just, I wanted to look at the financials for 15 minutes and be like, yeah, we made money or we lost money, right?
Right.
So I hired that position. And then I was doing all the project management myself. And so I was like, I don't have time. I can't be a project manager and still work on that, you know, 50,000 foot level and be the visionary. I'm too far in the weeds. So I hired a project manager to come and manage all the projects. Then I was still designing our properties. So my wife and I would go like Friday night, date night to Home Depot and we'd pick out tile and, you know, all of that stuff, paint colors.
You're like the designer basically.
Yeah. And my wife is the designer. I hate all that stuff, right? But I direct her. I'm like, hey, we got to pick out tile. Someone's got to do it. And so then we hired like designers and we just kept growing this team. Now I have acquisition guys that their job is to go and buy the properties. And I have guys that are selling our properties. And I have a title company that they do everything for me. I don't even have to go to closings anymore. Like they just take care of it.
Right.
And our lenders and all of these guys that are lending money, there's just this system in place that I could be removed and I can work on stuff that I like doing, that I enjoy doing, right? I love raising capital and I like meeting with investors and I like kind of being that visionary and not necessarily
working on the big things.
Yeah, exactly. I call them my H butts, right? My highest best use of time.
Yes.
My highest best use of time when I started was installing a toilet, right? I was making $10 an hour installing toilet.
That's what you got to do.
It, right. And it sucked. And I soon realized, man, I could just go work at McDonald's and make more money than what I'm doing flipping houses, right? So I was like, I got to get rid of that. I got to do my best use of time isn't installing toilets. So I needed to have someone install toilets. And then that just evolution just kept growing. What else do I need someone? Oh, I need a VA. I need this. I need whatever it is until now that I get to enjoy that freedom. And I could work, you know, I was gone most of the month of July and my business kept running. I was on vacation with my family.
And touch base stuff, right?
Yeah. I didn't have to be involved, right? Like my team just kind of took care of that. Everyone knows their job. They stay in their lane. They get stuff done. And then I can do with that 50,000 foot level that, are we going in the right direction? Oh, this coronavirus is coming. What do we need to change? How do we fix it? How do we adapt? Right.
Yeah.
And that was really the process of growing my business. So you asked the question, like what my business plan was. I never sat down. I'm not the type of guy to sit down and make a list, a to-do list or, you know, all of that. I'm just a fire ready aim type guy. Right. And so I'm just like, hey, what do I need right now? I need someone to keep my books. Okay, perfect. And then I just would keep all the stuff that I like doing, that I enjoyed doing, because that's what makes it rewarding. But
Keller Williams, The One Thing, that book, you find the one thing you're and good at. Yeah.
And that's what I did, right? Like I still do the things that I love doing. I still like leading people and I still like doing all those fun things, but I didn't like doing accounting. I didn't like being project manager and I didn't like designing. So I kind of slowly just hired those people and I did it smart, right? I did it organic. I didn't hire all these people at the same time and
run
a business. I said, okay, what do I need right now? What's the next closest alligator to the boat that I feel like I need to get taken care of? And then I would bring that person on. And I've been through a lot of bad people, right? A lot of bad contractors. I've lost tens of thousands of dollars by hiring bad people and hanging on to them too long. And so there's just that fine line, right, between hiring slow, hire the right person, and fire quickly. If they're not the right fit, then get rid of them. But
right,
I always worry, oh, well, how are their kids going to eat lunch? And, you know, like,
that's not really your concern, unfortunately.
Yeah, you just can't. Do they fit with my culture and with my business? And they see where we're going, right? I always say I want to build castles, not fight dragons. So for me, building castles is building this business and this whole thing that every one of us can benefit from, instead of spending my time working with a bad GC that always needs money and is broke and just takes up way more. It
takes a lot of your time and a lot of handholding. You need people that know what their job is and do it well.
So I want guys that are going to build castles with me, right? I want to build this million-dollar company. And I want to do, you know, all these things. So I want those people on my team, not the people that I have to fight all the time and slay these.
So I think when it comes to personnel, it's very important not only to have good people and people understand what their role is, but that are like-minded to what your vision is. Because a lot of times if they're not, you know, as good as they are, they're still wondering, why are we doing this? And you're still bucking the system and you want to input systems and you want to do it this way. And sometimes it doesn't work out. But I think that your description of kind of how you've been developing the business gets back to an issue that I have with people all the time. They say to me, I don't have a business plan. I don't write a business plan. And I say to them, you don't need to sit down with a template and make a business plan. You have a business plan. You're just not recognizing it. Like there's basically four parts to, you know, any business, right? There's people, there's product, there's marketing, and there's the financial side of it. Right. And that's exactly what you did. You started developing the people because the people were driving the process, which is your product, right? I mean, that's really what it is. And the finances you took care of because you're like, I'm not doing this bookkeeping. And the marketing obviously is part of the people, right? Marketing, finding the products and then marketing the houses back out there. I mean, you did develop a business plan. It's a working, breathing, you know, way to approach your business and get the right people in place. And I think that, you know, people don't recognize that they don't have to sit down necessarily. And I mean, some people need to do that, right? In their own mind, they need to kind of lay out what their plan is. But sometimes people, they paralyze themselves. Like they never get started with the business. It's your planning and the way you run your business and your people doesn't stop because, like you said, you find out this is not the right guy. He's not like-minded. He's not reliable. He doesn't show up. You know, he's spread too thin. So you get rid of him, you get a new contractor. It's an ongoing, living, breathing approach to the running of your business, because if not, you're not going to be on the beach with your kids playing in sand. You're going to be on the phone the whole time because you got to deal with all these people that aren't doing the right thing and, you know, aren't working together and all that kind of stuff. And I think that I deal with a lot of motivational, you know, type of people who have their systems and they talk, and I say to them, well, do you need a business plan? I think they always think traditionally a business plan that's written with all this stuff. And they're like, you don't need a business plan. I'm like, yeah, you do. Right. You're just defining it wrong.
Yeah. And that essentially was my plan, right? My plan was, what do I like doing and what do I not like doing? And I'm going to hire up those people that can help me get to where I want to go, that I can, you know, have that freedom and that time back, because these people are moving they're steering the ship, right? They're rowing or they're doing whatever, right? Right?
You're working on the plan, on the business. They're working in the business. You're like, I want to get out of that as quickly as I can.
I had to start there, right? I was definitely very much in the business because I had to learn my way up to what it is now. Like, I had to understand what does it take to install a toilet, right? I knew that, right? Because I had done it 20 times before, right? So I understood that process. And then I said, okay, well, I understand how long it takes. Now I need someone to do that. I'm gonna pay you $10 an hour, but it's gonna make me $20 an hour because I don't have to do it anymore. And you can do it 10 times faster than me anyway. So let me just pay you the $10 to do it. And then I'm gonna get that back on the return because I don't have to put in my own time. So that's where it really started. And that was my business plan all along, is, hey, how do I be able to work on the business instead of in the business? And I went through all of those. Trust me, I did all the bookkeeping. I did all the all the project management. I did all the designing. I did all of that. But I said, I don't want to do this long term. I need someone that can come in and can take this, who's better at it than me, who's faster at it, more efficient. Like, they can take this and just do what they love doing, right? That's their one thing. which was great. That's what I want, people that love coming to work and they love designing and they love whatever, they love installing toilets, right?
Right.
I want that guy that he gets fulfillment out of his job, because I know that I didn't, but someone may not get fulfillment out of the stress of, you know, being a visionary. And so that was really my, like what you're saying, I didn't have an official business plan, but I always knew that's the direction I wanted to go.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then, and you, so what do you find you doing more on a daily basis now in business wise than you were before?
Yeah. A lot of it is just like today I'm going to go take my kids to school and I'm going to do stuff that I want to do. Right. But it's meeting, it's high level stuff. So I'm meeting with my bookkeeper and my CPA, and I'm having these team meetings. I'm taking our contractors out. I'm raising capital. I'm just doing stuff that I really enjoy doing. Right. And that's kind of what it is on a weekly basis. I get to hang out with my kids. I still get to have freedom with them and take them to school and do all that kind of fun stuff. But I also get to see that visionary, okay, well, what do we need now? What's the position next that I feel like our business needs? Is it more marketing? Do we need to get more deals? Do we need to, you know, and that's just my process now, right? Right now I'm like, hey, how do we double our business? Okay. I need to bring in a sales guy. So I'm working on that. How do I get the right sales guy in that can come and help us? I have two acquisition guys now. I think we could use another third that could help us get more properties. Right. And so
you're not even out there, Tyler, looking at properties. You got guys bringing them to you and saying, hey, this is what we think. They make a presentation to you.
No, they just have permission, right? They've gained my trust that they can just pull the trigger on it. And then that triggers the system and the process. And it just goes through the whole thing. And so everyone knows what happens next. So these guys go and buy the property. That triggers the title company. They work with the lender. And it's just this system, right? Then once we buy it, the project manager takes over and starts rehabbing it. And then our disposition team sells it.
Right.
And so I'm just really out of the loop. I'm just seeing high level stuff and just making sure that all the pistons are firing, right?
Right. So what are your objectives? So now you're at the point where most business owners would like to be, right? Where you're really just, you know, Jeff Bezos. You're not going working on the shop floor. You're saying, what are the two or three things I can do that are very large today? What are your goals and objectives with the company now?
It's just that continual growth for me, right? Like if you're not growing, you're dying. So we're growing, right? We're starting a construction company. We're looking at doing a roofing company. We're looking at getting into some multifamily passive income stuff, like all of those things, that's on me, right? That's
so as opposed to just keep flipping, you're now starting to develop a portfolio.
We're really good at flipping and we can still grow that business, right? But there's other opportunities out there that we can have. We can diversify, right? And we can say, hey, look, maybe we'll get into some multifamily. We can have a service-based business and construction.
Meaning where the company does renovations for other people, makes money.
Exactly. We can totally do that. And we've talked about that, right? How we could just start our own construction company and do other flips for other people, but then we don't have to risk the capital of buying the property. We don't have to go find the deal. We can just still make money on the construction side. So
not necessarily working with homeowners, but work with people that are investors that are buying a property. You coming in with your team and saying, okay, for a markup, we do the whole thing, and then you just flip and make a little bit less money, but you have to, you have less risk because you know what you're doing.
Yeah, less exposure. So, and we're helping other people, right? We know what we're doing. So if I would have had that service when I did my first house, I would have made a lot more money probably, right?
Right.
So lots of different opportunities for us. It's just a matter for me is that I just want to keep growing and building and just having these multiple streams of income, whatever that looks like. That way I could just employ more people. That's important to me. I love that knowing that I help people have financial stability and that I'm, you know, supporting these families. So I love that. I just want to keep growing and I want to keep making sure that I'm growing personally and professionally and that our business is growing and that we're just continually moving forward.
So you don't have any partners, right? You own the company 100% yourself?
Just me and my wife. She's
a partner. She's the boss, but
she's the real boss. Maybe not on paper, but in our house, she's the boss. So.
Right. So, and then your workers, you have different levels of guys, supervisors, foremen, and they're all compensated based on, so mostly hourly worker, you get bonuses out based on the deals and how quickly, I mean, you have incentives.
It depends on who it is, right? But most of our stuff is piece rate. We want it based on performance. So you get paid based on how well you perform. So even our foreman, right, we do standardized pricing and we do what's called just like set rates, right? So if I need to hang a light fixture, I know how much the light fixture costs and I know how much I'm going to pay to hang that light fixture. So if you hang it and you can do it more efficient than the other guy, you're going to make more money. And that's kind of really my company. Well, I have a couple of hourly employees that just like my office manager is hourly and just stuff like that. But yeah, for the most part, I want people to be incentivized by how efficient or how well they work. So my sales guys are all commissioned. My designers get paid on performance. Like all of that is I just want them to perform and then they can get paid for what they're doing. So I tried hourly. We had a crew that was hourly and it would cost me three times as much
because no incentive.
Yeah, exactly. And so
actually there's an incentive for them to take longer.
Exactly. I'm going to smoke for 20 minutes more. I'm going to take a 2-hour lunch. And so we tried that. It just didn't work. So I want people that are incentivized to work hard and to grow with us and that can see that, hey, look, if I'm more efficient and I can install 5 instead of 3 lights in an hour, I'll make a lot more money.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we want to do is we want to incentivize those people to just give us their best effort.
And you said you're in Utah, right?
Yep.
So you're doing all your work in Utah?
Yeah, we do a lot in northern Utah. So mostly Salt Lake and north of Utah.
No other states, you're not expanding?
Yeah, we can. Like that's always on the table, right? Do we start a construction company? Do we expand markets? That's all the decisions that I'm thinking about all the time, right? Is what would that look like and what's the best direction that we need to go in?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard, right? You get into a market you don't really know as well as you know the market here. And that's a big factor of the decisions that you make when it comes to real estate. So, and you also said that you have like a 7-day flip program. I'm like, you're coaching with people are working with you, or is that something you're going to?
Yeah. So the big thing, I don't know when this will air, but we're doing an event in
a couple of months, within a couple of months. Well, when's the event?
October 15th.
Okay, so we'll make sure we air it before then.
There you go. So it's called Flip Hacking Live. It's awesome. It's Mike Simmons, Bill Allen, all of those guys that are part of this 7-figure flipping. If you have any, you want to do anything involved with real estate, you want to buy and hold, you want to rent, you want to flip, you want to wholesale, you want to do anything in real estate, this is 3 days packed of the best flippers and wholesalers in the country. And it's really where, I got my start. I was there 3 years ago. I sat in the front row, I took notes, and then I took action. And then a year later, I was speaking on stage. We had done a 7-day flip and I was presenting on stage about what we had done. And it was just because I took that action. And then this year, again, this will be the third year that I'm speaking again. We're talking about how we flip 7 houses in 7 days and, all of these other cool things that it's just always evolving. So you're meeting with these top players. You get to have a one-on-one with me or with Mike Simmons or with any of these other power players that are doing a ton of deals. And that really, to me, was what broke that limiting beliefs, that potential that I thought I could do. And such a cool event. So I'll send you the link to that too, Mitch, and you can maybe put that in the show notes if anyone's interested. No pressure, but it's just such a cool event that you'll learn everything you need to know about flipping houses, wholesaling houses, how to find deals, how to negotiate,
right,
how to, control your costs and your rehab and condense your timeline, all of that cool stuff you need to know. So
now are you planning on doing that live, hopefully?
It was supposed to be live in Orlando, but they changed it to just virtual now. So
it's virtual. Okay. Well, that's good. People can, participate from all over the country. They don't have to travel. Yep. They don't,
You don't have to pay for a hotel or airplane ticket or anything like that. And there will still be like one-on-one. So if you want to have a one-on-one with me and you want to talk about, hey, Tyler, how did you flip a house in 7 days? Can I see your budget? Can I see your Gantt chart or whatever it is? Then I'll be available for that too. I do a lot of coaching in that group. So just a cool opportunity, man. It's a cool experience to go and to network with some of these players that are just doing hundreds of deals a year. It's just
fun. Sure. Well, so, I mean, when you got involved, it changed your perspective and your paradigm. Awesome. You understood that it was possible. That's 90% of things, seeing that other people are doing it and realizing, well, wait a second. If this guy can do it in 7 days, it must be doable,
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So,
yeah. So, all right. So we'll get this out hopefully, earlier in September. I'll have to flip some things around, no pun intended. And, And yeah, so people can know about it, maybe sign up. So what is the, I'm sure it's less now because it's virtual, but what's the fee for the 3 days?
I think it's like $300 or something.
So that's it?
Yeah, that's it. Really. Like, I think tickets go up at the middle of September or end of September, something like that. But yeah, it's
I'm sure the live event's more, right? Because you got to rent the space and you got to be there and you got to,
And it's huge players too. Like Jocko Willink was there. Him and I spoke last year on stage. He's a huge powerhouse motivational speaker. Walter Bond, he's the number one motivational speaker in the country right now. He spoke last year. Like, just a lot of really cool stuff that happens for $300. It's totally worth it, I think. Right.
Yeah. And you're travel.
Made me hundreds of thousands of dollars, honestly. Yeah.
No, I think you're going to see more of these virtual summits in the future for different industries because the cost is so much lower. The access to people is so much greater. And then if you want to do special stuff, one day, you know, a one day, spend a day with you, I don't know. And they want to pay for that when they can, right? When you're all vaccinated, they can do that. And there's special Zoom things that I just think it's, I mean, it really expands your audience tremendously. We're going to probably do a virtual summit in maybe in the fall, later in the fall, about business planning and stuff. I did a business plan challenge about two, three weeks ago. We had about 50 people, only about two or three finished, but that's what happens with challenges, to get them to really write a business plan for in 5 days. 4 days, you know, those four sections that I mentioned, you know, people, product, marketing, and finance. And, you know, things get in your way. And some people say, oh, you know, it was hard to get through for the week. I go, well, that's why it's called the challenge. You'd think, I'm sure 7 day flip is not easy because you got people hustling and so forth. I mean, they get easier over time, but that people, it's funny that I would get that comment like, oh, I couldn't get through it. It was, I'm like, well, that's the whole point, you know? So I'll probably we'll do that again. But yeah, I think that's awesome. So we'll put those in the show notes, we'll put links, how people can connect with you, link to your YouTube channel so they can watch the whole, what was it? You said there was like 9 videos of the 7 day flip.
Four rehabs in 7 days. So yeah.
You can that was that. the two side by sides.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
So we filmed that whole thing, 4 rehabs in 7 days. It's really cool. So yeah, you can also find us on Facebook. My company is called Utah House Flip.
Okay.
Welcome to follow us there. We do a lot of like lives. We're doing another 7 day flip here coming up. So you'll be able to see like what we're doing every day. I go Facebook Live, so you can follow that. Tyler, we're on Instagram too. Utah House Flip on Facebook or Instagram. And then Tyler Benson as well on Facebook. You're welcome to follow me on that as well. We do a lot of cool things. So
yeah, send me all the links and I'll put them in the show notes and you'll review them. But Tyler, I can't thank you enough. I'm sure you're busy out there. I guess, what is it?
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.